So it's amazing to be back with you all, our family, and we're very excited to be here with you. And I guess first of all, just thank you for being our family for the whole time we were in Carlisle. We were here for about 6 years, and then for, you know, nicely kicking us out the door when we felt it was time for God to call us on somewhere else. The story, the Bible reading we just had just now, what do you think of the story? Like, it's one we've all heard a lot of times, right? It's a very familiar story, and it's easy to sort of become complacent with stories like that. And when I was reading this a lot recently, and actually I found it kind of intimidating. Like, so there's the three servants, right? And the first servant gets this money, and it's not like, you know, a couple of tenners. This is a lot of money he's received. I tried to find out how much it would be worth today, and there's lots of different interpretations of that. But possibly somewhere in the region of £100,000. We're talking about that sort of chunk of money. It's a lot of money. And somehow this guy doubles it. Like, seriously? That's impressive. Like, I can't do that. The second servant does the same thing. And it's like, whoa. And it almost is intimidating to me. It's like, that's what God expects from us? He expects us to take what resources we've got and double it? Well, there's no hope for me then. And the servant who buries it in the ground, actually, you know, that doesn't seem such a stupid idea. Like, you know, like today, these days, if you put the money in the bank, what with interest rates and inflation and everything, the master comes back and it's actually worth less than it was when he left. And like, so what do you do? How can we do this? Well, okay, there's one nice thing is that our master isn't exactly like the master in the story. He's not mean. He's not harsh. It's Jesus. And he hasn't left us on our own while he goes off. He's left us with the Holy Spirit. And so it's not us trying to double the resources. It's not us trying to achieve anything. It's about working with him. And, you know, that's like a huge weight off my mind. Okay, phew. So what is the... Why did Jesus tell us the story? I think it's kind of encouraging. He's like, Jesus actually wants us to be fruitful. He loves it. I don't think he's like, oh, well done, good, faithful servant, come on in. It's like, whoa! Brilliant! Well done! I'm so excited! Come on in! Oh, let's have a party, guys! That's Jesus' response. And I think he kind of likes that. Sorry, sound people. Sorry, Andrea. So that's kind of the thing for me, is that Jesus wants us to be fruitful. He enjoys that, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Sometimes it feels as if we're not even going to manage to keep up with inflation. One of the things that, the big things that we became more aware of this time as we went off on the ship was that, and one of the stories we were telling a lot, is that In the world at the moment, there's approximately 2.8 billion people who are considered the least reached, the people who don't have access to the gospel. And that's a lot of people. And this isn't about numbers, and of course each person is sort of important, each person is real. But the crazy, sort of scary extra bit for this is that every day, 57,000 people join that number. So it's increasing. The number of people who are not able to hear about Jesus is going up. We're not keeping up with inflation. So at some point, you start to think, okay, if we're not managing to keep up with inflation, we're not able to, no matter how much work we're putting into what we're doing, we're still not keeping up. What do you do with that? Like, if you're working your, you know, 90 hours a week or whatever to start your business, but you're still not managing to break even, at some point you need to think, okay, do I need to reevaluate what's going on? This is one of the things that the mission agency we were with has been struggling with for a while. And Latin America, they had a vision about this, a real drive for this, what they wanted to do. Latin America, we all think about, if we think about it, it's like a place that receives missionaries, right? You've seen or heard of Three Gates of Splendor and all of these things. We know about all of the problems there in Venezuela and all of these huge problems going on. And we think, oh, they need us to send more missionaries. They need to hear the gospel. Well, yes, of course, there are many people there who do need Jesus. But relatively speaking, most people there, a majority of people, have access to the gospel in some way or another. So the OM field, the whole continent of Latin America, like, we need to send more missionaries. We don't know how many we can send from here. Maybe we can send 2,000 in the next 4 years. This was their vision, to try and send 2,000 more missionaries from Latin America to the places in the world which don't have access to the gospel at all. And so OM has this ship. It's a big, white, old ferry. And it's called Logos Hope. And Lucy's been on board for quite a while. And Becky and I have been involved with them for a while as well. And so we brought this ship around, all the way around Latin America. And we were telling this story, this message, that we need to send people to the least reached. If you want to get involved with this, come. Let's go. Let's tell people about Jesus. And so this vision of getting 2,000 long-term missionaries sent from Latin America to the least reached parts of the world, within 3 months of us being there, we'd had over 2,000 applications for people wanting to go. And of course, not everyone's going to go off those applications. But the ship was going around Latin America for a year and a half. So there's a lot of people there. The church there is waking up. It's getting this idea inside them that we need to go. We need to get involved in looking outside our own doors, going places. This is super encouraging for us, because no matter how hard we work, we can't do it. Like Jesus says, pray for more workers to go into the harvest field. The harvest field is ripe, it's ready. And so, hooray, awesome, right? Cool. That's my first sort of point, and I've completely forgotten where I'm going from here. So, if you'll forgive me. I know you will, because you're nice. So, yes. This idea that of the 57,000 increase, whatever, and they're wanting to change what's going on there, the higher level leadery people of OM and that, we're talking about this idea of changing the trajectory. So the number's going up, we need to just change the direction that it's going, it's to change down. So this is one of the thoughts, trying to beat inflation, beat entropy, change the direction. How do we get involved in that? And this is, it's one of the things where Becky and I as well felt, we also had this same kind of thing going on, where we were working hard on the ship, working with the events team. So we'd bring lots of different churches, lots of different schools, lots of different people on board, and we were working to share the message with them, telling people about Jesus, and we were working pretty hard. Looking after kids is also tiring as well, as many of you know. And if you do like numbers, during that time, we ran over 1,000 events. My team were running, so about a third of them for the ship's company, so devotions and prayer nights and church services and all that, and then the rest for other churches locally. So we're running a lot of events on this ship. The ship has about 350, 400 people altogether-ish, depending, it floats around the number, and all of them are volunteers, all of them want to do something for God. The previous ship, the one that Becky and I met on, was called Doulos. The word doulos is a Greek word meaning servant. The same word that's used in the Bible passage today. Bond servant or slave or servant. And this idea of serving God, of wanting to do something, we all kind of have that thing in the back of our minds, right? Of wanting to be told, well done, good and faithful servant. We all want that, right? But you sort of wonder, how far can you go with this? Like, at some point, what is it you're doing? Are you just serving the process, or are you actually following what God's saying to do? This was one of the things that's been, I guess, inside us for a while. I talked about it last time I was able to talk with you guys. So as I was saying then, joking. So we are not just slaves or servants, Jesus said. We're his friends. He wants to do things with us. He wants us to work together with him on things. And so a lot of what we're doing is saying, okay, Jesus, what is it you want us to do? What are we going to do together? What are you doing and how can we get involved? So this feeling for us, for Becky and me, on our time with the ship, we realized that we need to do more in looking after people. The story that comes after the Bible passage today is when Jesus said, it talks about the sheep and the goats. And he says at the end of time, then he's going to separate everyone out, sheep over here, goats over here. And what he said is that is going to be the criteria for whether he says welcome or not in that story, is whether people looked after the people who needed looking after, really. And looking after people, caring about people, is super important. And this is, it's where, I guess I realized one of the things I failed in is I work too hard and don't look after the people enough. So I could sometimes be working really hard to run events really well, but not look after the people who were part of this. It's something I do, maybe part of being a nerd, there's one excuse, or being too work-focused, there's another excuse. Being European, that's another excuse, maybe. There's lots of excuses, but it doesn't alter the fact that we need to look after each other. We need to show this love for each other. That's how the world is going to see that we're different. That's how they're going to see Christ in us, is by our love for each other. So, I guess the big question that I always have, and I apologize, I'm not giving like a 3-point sermon with like nice structured things. This is just a lot of different thoughts where our experience has been, is what is God calling you to do? Because if we just sort of launch into trying to use whatever resources we have and try to double it, yeah, like, I'm certainly not capable. There are some people who might be almost capable. I know there are very clever people who put in a huge amount of effort and can, it seems, you know, double their resources, double what they've been given. They thrive, they expand like crazy, they grow. And I was reading a story recently about a pastor who did that. His ministry grew and grew and grew. His church doubled in size. The number of ministries they had doubled and all of this stuff. But the cost of that to his family and to himself and to his life with Jesus was enormous. The whole thing ended up falling apart for him. And he ended up losing his family. He ended up losing the ministry. He ended up losing his walk with God. And it took him years and years to get back on track again with Jesus. So it's one of those things, is none of us are going to be capable, we're going to be good enough to do the kind of thriving, the kind of happy, enormous, joy-filling fruitfulness that God wants us to have if we do it on our own. It's only going to be possible through him, because it's his story, not ours. It's about what he wants to do and us getting involved with it. And that's kind of tough, I think, for me anyway. I like doing stuff. I like being successful. I like, you know, achieving things. But that's not always what God wants us to do. Sometimes we achieve so much that we forget about him. It's difficult, right? It's difficult really being his child. Like, our son David has grown a lot on the ship. His hair is also just as frizzy and all over the place, right? But when we joined the ship, he wanted to be the captain. And so he would go around everyone that we'd meet and be like, "Hi, my name's David. I'm from England and I'm going to be the captain." Like, yeah, go kid. And he had no idea that this was impossible because he was three. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of enthusiasm. But if he wanted to actually do something like, you know, steer the ship or do something crazy, he needs an adult to look after him and bring him along that way. And it's the same with us as well. We need God to take us by the hand and we go with him. Because I think God likes that. I think God likes us holding his hand and being excited with him. Being a small child sounds awesome, to be honest. So, I guess as a challenge, my thought is, what is it God's placed in your heart? What resources do you have? What has God given you? And let's not forget that it is about him, really. It's not about us. So, those are kind of the main things that have been sort of going around in me and in us over the last few years, in sort of internally. At the moment, Becky and I, when we wanted to come back to the UK, we were saying, so should we continue with going with the ship longer? Should we keep going? Should we keep on running events? Should we keep on putting into this thing? Or what's next? What does God want us to do next? Because we were working hard, as I said, but we weren't seeing the increase of what we were doing, if that makes sense. We felt as if we were working hard, but not managing to meet up, to catch up with entropy. We weren't managing to beat inflation. And the thing of looking after people, trying to help each other, look after the weakest people, was huge for us. It was something we saw as a ministry we were struggling with, where we saw people who were lovely people, who really loved Jesus, but they were hurting each other. Not intentionally, but because they were putting the process first and the people afterwards, they'd end up hurting each other. And people sometimes get hurt through that. When we see the job, the task of doubling the master's money is more important than looking after the other servants. Like, imagine that. The servant who had doubled his master's money from the 5 to 10 or 10 to 20 or however many it was. Imagine if, rather than pouring all of his time and effort into just doubling his master's money, he'd helped the other servant who wasn't doing so well. The one who was scared and buried the money. It'd be a different story, eh? Because I don't think the master would have been upset had the servant said, "I didn't quite double it. There was only, you know, a third and a half, maybe half again of what you left." But then at the end of the day, the other servant also had done well, and the master didn't get all angry at the end of the day. It would have been different. And that's often where it is, where we saw we need to look after each other, help each other grow. So that's what Becky and I realized we need to do. It's what we need to learn. So we moved to Glasgow because we know there's a lot of opportunities there for learning more about people care, learning more about coaching, learning more about counseling, learning more about pastoral care topics, which is in our heart. We want to do, and we just don't know how to do it well. So that's where we're going next. That's what we're wanting to pursue. And if I'd thought that was going to be our direction 5 years ago, no, I wouldn't have thought that at all. But it seems to be where God's leading us, and I'm glad he is. It definitely seems right for us. And that's where we're at the moment. In some ways, I wish had moved straight back to Dentonholm, be part of the community here. We love you guys, and we're so glad we could be your hands and feet on the ship for a few years. And be part of what God's doing there in Latin America and what he's going to be doing through that onto the next stage. So thank you. And trust God. He loves us. He wants us to do well.